From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Jimmy Carter served as the 39th president of the United States from 1977 to 1981. During his time in office, Carter was open about his faith and never shied away from topics like religion or the role God played in his life. But the former president worries that faith has become distorted in the world of politics today. Carter thinks religious fundamentalists have taken a stronghold on politics and are forcing their beliefs on others and leaving little room for tolerance of differing views. The former president worries that this kind of intolerance can only lead to a further decaying of what he sees as a society that's moral center is eroding. Carter takes on this controversial subject in his latest book, Our Endangered Values, America's Moral Crisis. Mr. President, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Ed.
I'm curious why you decided now to write this book. Was there some righteous indignation that caused you to do this?
Well, this is my 20th book. I've never written one before about political affairs, but I was becoming increasingly concerned about the basic changes that have taken place in our national policy on a matter of issues that are very important to me and I think to the American people. I'm not talking about a difference between Democrats and Republicans or about liberals and conservatives. I'm talking about a radical group of changes taking place in this administration compared to what was done under George Bush Sr. or under Ronald Reagan or under Gerald Ford or even Dwight Eisenhower, as well as Democratic presidents. And they involve the basic issues of peace, human rights, the environment, rich versus poor, church and state, and that sort of thing. For instance, in the area of peace, we've always had a policy in our country of going to war only if our country was our security was directly threatened. Now we have a new policy promulgated by the president of preemptive war, a policy of going to war against another country with bombs, missiles, and even invasion if we want to change the administration there or if we think that sometime in the future our security might be threatened. We've now seen an incredible debate about whether our country should resort officially the torture of prisoners. We've seen an abandonment of the basic principles on environment, and we've seen an unprecedented series of ostentatious tax breaks for the richest Americans who live at the expense of poor people and working class people, and we've seen a breakdown in the relationship between church and state, a barrier that was established as far back as Thomas Jefferson, who said, build a wall between church and state. So these kinds of basic changes are the ones that caused me finally to write this book.
What do you think essentially caused the breakdown of what many suggest is happening in this country, the moral fiber that the country was built on?
Well, one generic change has taken place has been an increase in fundamentalism in religion and politics, and they are somewhat different, and I described them in Our Endangered Values. In religious circles, fundamentalists are always powerful men who consider themselves superior to all others, superior to women, with a subservience or subjugation of women. They consider themselves, a fundamentalist does, to be inherently directly related to God. Therefore, their beliefs are God's beliefs. And anyone who disagrees with them at all have to be wrong or even inferior. They don't consider it to be appropriate to negotiate or to mediate or to deal with people who have a contrary beliefs because that violates their own principles. And also, obviously, a fundamentalist can't admit I have ever made a mistake. So those kind of rigidities, black and white, no nuances, no debates, no give and take, have permeated not only religious circles, but also, I would say, the activities of Congress. And I try to describe these in some more detail, obviously, in a book that I don't have time to do right now. So that is one of the causes of these black and white, I'm right and you're wrong, either you're with us or against us, those kind of policies.
What we've heard recently coming out of Washington, and we heard former President Clinton just talk about the political talk that we've seen over the course of the last few years, and in particular in the last few months, the idea that we are really going down a road of no return is his thought. Would you agree with that?
I hope it is a road of return. I don't think it's no return. I think we are headed in that direction. But I believe that the recent public opinion polls, which you and I both have seen, show that there's a growing disillusionment and disapproval and distrust of what has been going on in Washington. Most of this has happened since my book actually had to go to press back the 1st of July. But I think that almost all of the principles that I describe in our endangered values as matters of deep concern are now becoming much more vivid, much more known among the American public.
Mr. President, before we let you go, I have to talk about your party, the Democratic Party. So many people have been critical until late. We've seen them stand up, certainly in the course of the last couple of weeks, led by Mr. Murtha and Harry Reid and others. I'm curious how you see the political climate today, and in particular, your party's play in it.
Well, I think that the ad hominem attacks, the personal attacks against Jack Murtha have been despicable. I've known Jack Murtha for 30 years. He's one of the most courageous, dedicated people that I've ever known. And he probably has the most intimate, personal relationship with, I would say, battlefield generals and their subordinates than any other member of the Congress. And he put forward some ideas that were well considered. I can't say they should all be immediately adopted. That's not what he calls for. But he calls for a phased withdrawal, but a definite withdrawal from Iraq. I think this should be debated publicly. And I think the vituperation that has been leveled against him is typical of what I consider to not beat a dead horse, a fundamentalist principle. I am all right. If you disagree with me, you must be wrong and therefore inferior.
And finally, Mr. President, in terms of what you would like to see America adopt for a mode of tolerance, what do you think has to be done to see this country gain more tolerance on all levels, quite frankly?
Well, I think just a realization that we can't be 100% right, that we have to negotiate with those who disagree with us. We have to compromise. We have to have open public debates in the House and Senate of the United States of America. There has to be a breakdown in the vituperation and negative advertising in politics, where elections are won or lost just on how much you can tear down the reputation of your opponent. Those kind of changes, I believe, are needed, and I believe that there is a very good reaction now against these extreme cases of animosity and distrust and hatred back toward a more moderate position. I think that's what we need to do. I've enjoyed being with you. Thanks very much for letting me talk to you. And the folks,
Mr. President, thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Jimmy Carter is the 39th president of the United States and founder of the Carter Center. His latest book is Our Endangered Values, America's Moral Crisis.